Brian Bulaga reportedly suffered a sprained MCL at practice on Thursday, although it appears he escaped major injury. This comes as the Packers get ready to face the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday in a rematch of last season's NFC Championship game. To preview the contest, we welcome onto the show former Packers tight end Tom Crabtree. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a game this weekend, a big one against the Seattle Seahawks. To do that, to preview the game, we have a guest joining us on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have former Packers tight end Tom Crabtree joining us. Tom, how are you? How's the family?
We are doing well. How are you?
Very good. Long time no talk. We're glad to have you back on the show, though. I want to start off. Of course, you know, Packers fans are not going to forget what happened in the NFC Championship game last season, that the stunning collapse. Can you describe the most disappointing loss of your football career? Maybe it's from college or high school even. I don't know. What is that one kind of loss that lingers with you and you still remember today?
Man, it's hard. Unfortunately, it's hard for me to pick this one. I've suffered my share of losses from high school all the way up to the NFL. You know, a lot of times, the ones that stand out in my mind are ones where I could have done more personally to help the team and I didn't. So, you know, anything where, I have one play that sticks out in my mind from a game or whatever, it always kind of hangs in my mind. I'm like, shoot, man, I wish I could have made this play or that play. And, so I have a few of those. I think being a competitor and an athlete, you always have, I don't want to say, I guess they're regrets, but kind of plays you wish you did differently and it could have changed the outcome of the game. So I know it's a long, rambly answer to not give you a specific game, but you know what I mean, right?
No, that's fair enough. I do want
to... It's hard to just pick one is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
yeah, I understand. I'll take it in this direction because even though you weren't with the Packers during the NFC Championship game last year, you were with the team during the so-called Fail Mary loss at Seattle in 2012. What are your memories of that game being there and the aftermath of the game?
Man, I think we were all just kind of in a state of like disbelief and like shock, like what the heck just happened? Like no one really knew what to say or what to do. It was just a very strange scene. It just didn't feel like it ended up the way it did. It was very strange. Nobody knew what to do or what to say.
Yeah, certainly with Lance Easley and everything that happened there. How much do you think that single game was responsible for the NFL getting a deal done with the referees union and getting them back on the field by the next week?
Yeah. I think that might have had a little something to do with it.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate memory. Let's take a look at this current Packers-Seahawks matchup. How difficult is it to get open against these Legion of Boom Seahawks secondary guys? Because you played against a few of these guys like Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt it's an intimidating secondary at first glance. They are missing their guy, Cam Chancellor, which, I think that's a pretty big hole and not one that, is easily filled by any of their backup guys. So I think if any time there was a weakness on this defense or that secondary, you know, I think now is that time. So, you know, I'm hoping the Packers, I think they can capitalize on it. And I think they can air it out and do a little better in the passing game than they have in the past against Seattle.
We're talking to former Packers tight end Tom Crabtree here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Tom, we heard yesterday Brian Bulaga suffered a sprained MCL. He's likely to miss Sunday's game, and it looks like Don Barclay will start in his place. What kind of challenge does Don face going against guys like Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill?
That's a huge challenge. But again, I know Mike and Ted, they put the right guys in the right positions, and, you know, they'll all have faith and rally around Don and help him out for sure. They'll put him in good positions. But, yeah, it's a tough task. That's why I think it's important he'll get some help from whether it's a tight end or fullback or whatever. I think you'll probably see him get some extra help here and there to take care of those good pass rushers.
Don, of course, is coming off the torn ACL last season, and, you know, you kind of alluded to it, going to give him help. Can you ever recall a game in which you as the tight end were kind of asked to, you know, help out an offensive tackle where that was kind of the focus of the game plan?
You know, it wasn't ever off the top of my head. I can't remember it specifically being a focus. I always feel like I kind of, you know, did that here and there. It was kind of came with the territory for me, you know, being a kind of a utility guy in there anyways. So, but, you know, that's just the way it is when you get a backup tackle in there, or you get in a situation even without a backup tackle. Against a team like this with guys like Bennett and Apple, you know, even with your starters in there, you still want to help those guys out as much as you can, mm-hmm. and lessen that chance that they're going to get a shot on your quarterback.
As a tight end, I'm interested in getting your assessment of Richard Rodgers. Obviously, you haven't played with him. He came in after you left. But from what you've seen, what does he offer the Packers?
You know, I haven't sat and, like, watched film on him. It's hard to get a feel, you know, watching TV copies of games and stuff.
Yeah.
But one thing that stands out is I can tell Aaron has a lot of faith and trust in Rodgers. Not himself, but Richard. That jumped out right away watching a few games. You can tell he has some faith and trust in Richard. And that's important to definitely have that kind of chemistry between a quarterback and a tight end. I mean, it gives Aaron one extra outlet and one extra weapon on that offense.
Oh, a guy you have played with is Aaron. Do you think it will be a big difference from a year ago when he had that pulled calf muscle and was rather immobile in the NFC Championship against the Seahawks? Do you think him being healthy will be a big difference in this game?
Oh, yeah, without question. I mean, because that's one of the things Aaron is so good at is using his feet and his legs, whether it's, you know, escaping pressure and getting rid of the ball or just taking off and running. You know, you saw it a couple times last week. He made a couple defenders for Chicago look kind of silly. And, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a key part of his game.
So the time has come. Can I get a prediction from you for the game?
You know, I thought this question might come up, so I came prepared. I came prepared.
Gotcha.
In my not-so-expert opinion, I have the Packers 27, Seattle 13. That's my official prediction right there.
All right. Sounds good.
I think things are going to go pretty well. I think they're going to be able to pass the ball a little more than people expect. And I think Aaron's going to have a good day. I think the offense is going to do well. And, I think it's going to be a good day in Green Bay.
Good. I hope so. But before we let you go, I'm just curious personally. I know you've been involved with the Players Tribune from time to time. The website started by Derek Jeter giving athletes a platform. What's that been like?
It's been cool. I've had a couple opportunities to kind of take over their Twitter account. And it's a cool website where a lot of the content is, you know, it's produced by players, basically. It's in their own words, and I don't know, it's just kind of a cool change up from, you know, traditional kind of getting quotes from players and stuff like that. I mean, the guys are going on there and writing that stuff themselves and kind of behind the scenes looks. So I think it's a pretty cool idea that's kind of taken off and people are really liking.
Yeah, definitely fills a niche, I think. Anything else you've been doing, you want to promote before we let you go?
No, man, not much. I've just been enjoying some time with my family, my kids. You know, that's been kind of one of the cool things. I've been able to sit back and without any, you know, stress or kind of connection to any of these games, I've been able to sit back and just enjoy them and sit down with my son and talk football with him. And whereas before in the past, it was kind of like, you know, if I was a free agent, I'm watching the games like, oh crap, like you got hurt. Where do I need to be ready to go? And where am I going to be flying to tomorrow? So it's kind of cool to just relax and enjoy life and enjoy the family.
Very good. Well, enjoyed retired life, retired from the NFL at least. Enjoy it, Tom. Glad to get your perspective and glad to hear your voice again. And thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, take care. Former Packers tight end Tom Crabtree joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
So, of course, yesterday, the big news in the world of the Green Bay Packers, Brian Bulaga has reportedly sprained an MCL in his left knee, according to Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. Of course, Brian Bulaga was listed on the injury report as a limited practice participant yesterday officially. It's apparently to his left knee, which is the same as the torn ACL, same leg as his torn ACL in 2013, and same leg as the sprained MCL last season. In fact, you may remember it was during the Packers matchup last year in the season opener when Bulaga was forced to exit the game, and the Packers had to struggle through with Derek Sherrod, who was later released mid-season. Bulaga missed the rest of the Seahawks game and then one more start, week two against the New York Jets, and came back to start the rest of the season. Went the entire way without issue from there on out. And I'm thinking that's going to be the best case scenario this year too. I think it's a given he's going to miss this week's game against the Seattle Seahawks, and you hope he returns in time for week three against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's a Monday night football game, so he gets one extra week of rest. And in fact, I mean, I don't pay that close of attention to the schedules for the other teams in the NFL. I was just, you know, watching Thursday night football last night and reminded, oh yeah, the Chiefs, the Packers' next opponents were on. It makes me angry when they get to play on a Thursday and now get the Monday night football game. They get like three extra days on the Green Bay Packers. Kind of wish that the Kansas City Chiefs had to play this past Sunday too, but it is what it is. You got to let the chips fall where they may. So, you know, going back to Brian Bulaga here though, Don Barclay practiced in Brian Bulaga's place yesterday. That was the word from a report by Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And you know, you might of course be worried considering Don Barclay's struggles during the preseason. But if there's a silver lining, and there's a few of them here, I think he'll be in better shape as the right tackle, where he'll be able to get help from the tight end a little bit more often, and that, and also Aaron Rodgers can see the pressure coming from when he's under center, you know, at right tackle as opposed to the blind side on his left. So I think that helps a little bit. I also think that Don Barclay, the further he's removed from that torn ACL, the healthier and the better he's going to be. So you got to remember when he was struggling during the preseason, it was those big struggles came in weeks 1 and 2 of the preseason when they faced the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers. He looked better, maybe not great, during the last two preseason games, weeks 3 and 4, but better. And now, you know, it's 2 weeks into the season. So we're basically a month more removed from when he was really struggling there. So, you know, again, silver lining here that I think he'll be in slightly better shape than he was before. You know, Don Barclay might get the start, but you know, I think they have options. Whereas opposed last year, the Packers basically, you know, went with Derek Sherrod and they didn't have a whole lot other places to turn to at the time because J.C. Treader was still, remember last year, he started off the year on the PUP list. He didn't even come back till midseason. But this year the Packers have options. So, you know, if Barclay struggles, the Packers can go with Josh Walker at right tackle. You saw him perform capably during the preseason. I'm not going to say great by any means, but I think you can get through a game with Josh Walker at right tackle. Or you know, the Packers have other options. They could even kick TJ Lang out to right tackle and put Barclay or Josh Walker at right guard. You know, TJ Lang has played right tackle in the past. Been a few years, but he does have that experience. They could put J.C. Treader there. J.C. Treader's played there. You know, I think they don't want to do that. They want to keep him at center or at least the interior if possible because they saw last season J.C. Treader got the occasional playing time at tackle and didn't look very good. And that's why you saw during the preseason this year, pretty much played almost exclusively center, which I think he's really well suited for. But it's an option. I'm just saying if Don Barclay, you know, really, if he looks like he did in preseason week one, giving up sacks, you know, they have options they can turn to that may be serviceable, if nothing else. I was, to kind of get to the prediction preview here, I was feeling really good about the Packers' chances prior to this latest injury. But I, you know, not to say that they can't win. I do still think they're going to overcome it. The Seahawks have injuries too with Cam Chancellor. We just talked about with Tom Crabtree. He's unlikely to play. But I think the home field advantage is going to be huge for this one. I think the Lambeau Field crowd will be more rabid for this game than just about perhaps maybe any other in history, considering, you know, the addition of 7,000 more seats, you know, to the stadium just in the past 2 years. Maybe it'll be the loudest ever. And even though the players downplay it, I think the Packers will be out for retribution. They do a good job of following Mike McCarthy's lead and downplaying it, but just, you know, you got to know that fire is going to burn within them. You know, and not just from last year's NFC Championship, but the last 3 losses to the Seahawks, and all of those, of course, were in Seattle, where they had the 12th man. There's no more 12th man. The 12th man's going to be wearing green and gold on Sunday instead. And I saw some people comment a 13th man and a 14th man and so on. You know, it predates the NFC Championship game. Go back to the season opener last year. I remember the NFL kickoff game when the Seahawks got to host the game as, you know, kind of the prize of winning the Super Bowl. And on top of that, you know, going back to the Fail Mary game in 2012 and how crushing that loss was, you know, that end up getting in a touchdown in the end zone, Russell Wilson to Golden Tate. And I think it only adds to it that Russell Wilson is the, you know, Wisconsin product, and people will be, I think Packers fans, you know, cheer for him when he's not, you know, playing the Packers, but they'll cheer even more loudly against him this week. They'll want to see him. The fact that Russell Wilson is kind of, I don't know, it seems like he's
gotten even worse in the eyes of a lot of the general public in the past year or so, just kind of from his, I don't know, his persona, his goody two-shoes persona a little bit, which is better than the alternative, better than being the kind of guy who's in jail, but still doesn't seem to really, I don't know, just doesn't connect with people, I don't think, or the majority of people. I like Russell Wilson. They think, obviously, he's a great quarterback, very talented, doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but ultra-athletic, you know, is able to make plays with his feet. Love that about him and love what he did for the Wisconsin Badgers, but I digress here. I don't think it's going to be easy to be effective for the Packers offense against the Seahawks defense, but I do think the Packers offense will do just enough to outscore them, and the defense should benefit from the return of safety Morgan Burnett. You, of course, saw the Packers struggle on run defense in week one, giving up, you know, 180 some odd yards to the Chicago Bears on the ground, and, you know, many of them to Matt Forte. So I think the Packers will be better. You know, they got the film down, and they know there were some just X's and O's things they can fix to get better there too. And one final key to the game, I think the Packers just simply have to avoid the huge special teams miscues. And the Packers don't have to be great on special teams. Obviously, they would benefit if they were great. If Ty Montgomery takes one to the house, that would be great. That would help. But I think they can do it. You know, they can be effective and win just by, you know, avoiding those things like giving up the onside kick like they did last year when Brandon Bostic tried to be the hero instead of doing his job, or the fake field goal for a touchdown like they did last year. You know, John Ryan, former Packers punter, throws the pass for the TD. As long as the Packers avoid those big letdown plays, that those momentum-turning, changing plays, they should have the upper hand. So just do things like, you know, don't fumble a return on special teams. Don't give up a fake punt or field goal for a touchdown. Just do your job. If the kickoff only comes out to the 20, so be it. Aaron Rodgers will get the job done. Just avoid the mistakes, and I think the Packers will, like I said, I think it's going to be a work in progress throughout the 2015 season on special teams, but as long as they aren't as bad as they were last year, that's a step in the right direction. I am calling for a 27-21 victory for the Green Bay Packers. So a little bit closer than Tom Crabtree called it. You can go with his 27-13 prediction if you want. I'm calling 27-21. Packers win by 6, but a win nonetheless, and start off the season, most importantly, 2-0, bringing that momentum into the third week against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, just a few other things. I think it's going to be interesting to watch on Sunday, a couple of the other key, you know, if you want things to watch during the game, it'll be interesting to watch the new inside linebacker combo of Clay Matthews and Nate Palmer. And of course, they got a little bit of work together in week one, but now this will be the first game post Sam Barrington, now that he's been placed on injured reserve. Lost for the season, won't play again in 2015. So Nate Palmer is the man, and was kind of learned this week. Nate Palmer and Clay Matthews together will be wearing the communication helmets, the headsets in which they'll relay plays to the rest of the team. And you know, I think, you know, Nate Palmer certainly will be in the crosshairs. Clay Matthews, I mean, it's going to be important for him. You know, it's always been important for him to play well, and he was a huge part of the week one win against the Bears, the kind of the game sealing interception against Jay Cutler. And that was really a clinic in how you play pass coverage as an inside linebacker. Just how athletic he looks out there in coverage is fantastic. You know, Nate Palmer will be the one in the crosshairs to see if he can, you know, give the Packers better play at the inside linebacker position than they've been getting. And I always thought, you know, we talked about this in the last episode. I always thought Sam Barrington was a, you know, kind of a run thumper. He's the kind of guy who's, you know, wasn't afraid to take on blockers. He wasn't always the most athletic and definitely a liability in coverage. But that might be Nate Palmer a little bit better strength. He may be a little bit better in coverage, a little more fluid. You know, is he going to be a playmaker? You know, that remains to be seen. I think, you know, it was kind of a nondescript week one game for Nate Palmer, but maybe that's a good thing. Of course, again, I mean, that was his first regular season game at inside linebacker, regular season. And to be nondescript in your first game ever, if he's only going to get better from here on out, I mean, that would be great. We hope it doesn't go in the reverse direction, at least, if nothing else. And I think another kind of interesting storyline, too, Richard Sherman. Of course, everybody knows Richard Sherman, Pro Bowl Seahawks cornerback, very outspoken fellow. He's gotten a lot of attention over the past few years. You know, in the week one game, he ended up playing, defending the slot, being a slot type cornerback, more than he has in the past. You know, he was kind of always a perimeter guy, but things have changed in Seattle. You know, Byron Maxwell's gone now, and they got to rely on Richard Sherman a little bit more. And that could mean he perhaps, you know, lines up against, of course, with Jordy Nelson out. Maybe lining up across from Randall Cobb a little bit more in the slot, is, you know, Randall Cobb more often than not a Packers slot receiver. Not to say he's not going to be take the occasional snap out on the perimeter. You know, obviously when the Packers are in kind of a, you know, two running back, one tight end type of personnel package or things like that. But So that'll be very interesting to watch, to see, you know, Randall Cobb versus Richard Sherman and the slot battle there, and see out who comes on top of that. You know, last year that was so notable in week one, you know, the Packers, the game plan was to keep Jordy Nelson on the left side of the field away from Richard Sherman, typical right side responsibilities. And they basically avoided Sherman for the majority of the game, and kind of ended up backfiring. Not to say that, you know, Jordy Nelson caught his share of passes, but they were a little bit one-dimensional, and the Packers want to try to avoid that as much as possible. Obviously, you don't want to target Richard Sherman a lot. He's great. You want to go through probably some of the more weaknesses you want to attack in the Seahawks defense, but again, fun to watch here. Next segment on the show.
The day ahead.
And we're kind of, if you're watching the live edition of the show, the day ahead's right now immediately, because there's been no official word on Brian Bulaga as of yet. No official word, just kind of media reports, you know, as of the time the show is airing. But we're expecting official word, or I'm expecting official word, either from Mike McCarthy's press conference, which starts here in about 1 minute at 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Mike McCarthy may have an update. He may not, because as the report goes, cited earlier, Brian Bulaga is going to undergo more testing today. So I don't know if they've already done that or going to do that. But even if we don't get it here from Mike McCarthy at 9 a.m., we may get it through the team's final injury report later. You know, they always release Friday afternoon, which includes the game day status projections. And I think you're going to very likely see Brian Bulaga be ruled out. You know, they give all those the probable, questionable, doubtful, those kind of, you know, status projections. So I think we'll, you know, at least by Friday afternoon, see Brian Bulaga ruled out, if nothing else. But we're also waiting to see the status, of course, of safety Morgan Burnett, who missed the season opener. Morgan Burnett has practiced all this week so far, albeit, and he's been in the limited category, his practice participation. But the fact that he was able to practice, you know, both days so far this week, I'm expecting he'll fall into that probable category. So I think that's only going to help the Packers defense to have him out there, you know, kind of a calming influence at the safety position, and will allow Micah Hyde to, you know, go back to the slot cornerback in the Packers sub packages, things like that. So that's what we're looking forward to today. And yeah, Mike McCarthy basically coming up very, very shortly here. So there you go. Once again, official prediction, Packers 27, Seahawks 21. And that'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Packers, former Packers tight end, always a Packer in our hearts, Tom Crabtree, for joining the show today. We'll be back again on Monday. Already got our guests lined up. Have Mike Heller of the Mike Heller Show on the Big 920 in Madison. There's also the affiliate in Milwaukee. What is it? The Big 10... 1070, something like that. I forget off the top of my head. But I've been a guest on the Mike Heller Show so many times. I'm glad to be turning the tables on Mike this upcoming Monday, the morning after the Packers Seahawks game. We'll get his reaction to what transpires on the field. So enjoy the game, folks. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll be back again Monday, 8:30 a.m. New shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Live edition, 8:30. Podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please, please, please give us a rating on iTunes and a comment too, if you would. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you do that, we'd be very appreciative. But enjoy the weekend, folks. Enjoy the game. I leave you today with a song called Let's Go Outside by the String Cheese Incident. By Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go.